Hello, my name's Simon Sansom. I'm the presenter of Wired Disabled. Today, we have the absolutely stunningly beautiful Samantha Bullock, who is probably the most recognisable wheelchair model in the UK, although she is from Brazil. Hello, Samantha.
Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank
cool.
you.
You're disabled. Now, let's get straight into it. What happened to you and how did you become disabled?
I had the accident when I was 14 years old. I was playing with my dad's gun. And yeah, that face is nice. So it's hard to explain. I mean, in the sense that it's no one's to blame apart from myself.
You shot yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Whereabouts did you shoot yourself?
On my belly. Yeah, I have like T12 L1 spinal cord.
Okay.
Injury.
And that obviously happened when you were 14. You said.
I was 14.
What was the result of that? What's happened with your disability?
Yeah, I got the spinal cord injury, yep. T12, and it's incomplete, so I can move a little bit my left leg. That helps me to transfer and a lot of things. And I got the liver, pancreas with the accident. It was just a bad one. You know?
That sounds really nasty. I take it that happened in Brazil rather than in the UK.
Yeah, it was 26 years ago, so it was normal at that time, as is normal in US, to have guns at home, and it was something that was, at that time also, almost 30 years ago, something. Now we can't have more guns in Brazil, but at that time we could.
How does that affect your daily life now? What do you do differently? How do you get around?
Yeah, in a wheelchair. I'm a wheelchair user, and my car is an automatic car with adaptations, and all the places we live is need to be ground floor or a lift. It's everything that's wheelchair friendly, really.
Okay. And now you are a campaigner for wheelchair modelling and wheelchair fashion.
Yeah, mainly for fashion, but it's media, it's marketing. Mm. You know, it's representation in all aspects and somehow.
Yeah, because I bet your life changed dramatically, obviously, when that happened, and obviously you've taken this route, which I'm guessing you weren't going to go down before.
I was a model before my accident.
Okay.
So I started modeling when I was 8 years old. So
what
when I was
14,
I was already a professional model.
Oh.
I was professional.
Okay.
In Brazil, to be professional, you need to have a course.
Okay.
You need to pass tests, you need to have your ID and everything. And I had at that point, I had 3 or 4 courses that I'd done. So I was a model and I used to do fashion shows and everything. So when I became disabled, it was harder for me that I couldn't be a model anymore, than I couldn't walk. It's not that I didn't bother to walk, sure that, you know, but for me, the frustration is like I couldn't be a model anymore.
Mm.
And so it's one of the things that I'm a very strong advocate for, the fashion, because we are what we are. So if I'm a model, what is the point that I couldn't be a model anymore because I'm in a wheelchair?
Mm. And you are a model now, obviously, and you work in fashion, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
There was something in the news recently about Marks & Spencer's doing children's clothing for disabled children. What's your view on that point of view?
They need to do.
Yeah.
Not all brands, for everyone, you know, for kids, for adults, for seniors, and it's the thing Tommy Hilfiger is doing. You know that a lot of brands start to be aware. I have a brand, this is a designer that I work with, Gunda, Peter Twiz. Sure, that needs to be more mainstream, so it needs to be... Primark is using Kelly Knox, I don't know if you know her, she's an amputee.
Yeah.
So it's coming, more and more brands, they are working...
So you say it's getting there slowly, but more needs to be done?
Much more. And when you think like, oh, it's something is so obviously we don't need to talk about because it's the common sense, it's moral, it's ethical, you know. But there you see that some brands, they are so far behind that ASOS is doing as well.
Yeah.
So I think one of the articles I wrote a few weeks ago, I think, was saying we need to support the brands that are doing. So there are more brands are going to feel, not only morally, but in their pockets, that they are, okay, so why you want to buy from Mark Spencer and you are not going to buy from Gucci, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, because I agree with what they are doing.
Mm.
So you are going to make this change. They are going to fill in their pockets.
Yes. Just to give you an example of this, I'm wearing Marks & Spencer's trousers now. I bought 6 pairs of these trousers, black and white, and my mum had to adapt them for me so I could actually undo them when I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because I can't undo normal trousers because I need to stand up with one hand when I go to the bathroom. I need to sit down. But yeah, I need to put one hand on the wall to keep my balance because I've got no feeling in my feet to go to the toilet to undo my trousers. So I need to do them with one hand. And that's...
So if you support economically the brands that are doing something, you know, is the way to say keep doing. You know, I'm happy for doing, and is the way to go. Yeah. Our money in this case is the big change.
Yeah. Who do you think stands out at the moment as the best organisation who are doing the most for people with disabilities in the clothing range?
I think ASOS.
ASOS.
Even at River Island, also just launching campaign.
Yeah.
But ASOS are doing a lot about inclusion. You can see colouring and you just, yeah. Tommy Hilfiger, I think, as well. He is nice because I didn't see. We don't have here in UK. Yeah. They are doing in US. And if you buy here in UK, you need to buy from US. It's all with magnets, you know. I don't know how strong it's going to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something
that... Oh, you mean trousers with magnets?
Trousers, so okay. The buttons are magnets, you know.
Oh, that's
so,
a good idea.
Yeah, so I don't know how it works, like I said, because I never saw one. I never tried one.
Yeah.
I don't know how strong it's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's the idea is there.
Yeah.
And it's coming.
Excellent.
But it's going to be launched in the UK at some point.
Okay. So which one do you prefer at the moment? Modelling? Or doing fashion work, or both.
Both. I'm going to do a fashion show tomorrow. I loved being the catwalk. When I got the catwalk, is that adrenaline, and just comes and it's so nice. Is that like 3 minutes?
What's the fashion show?
The runway, Eyes and Croydon one. I'm going to do Dubai Fashion Week as well at the end of October.
Okay.
I did Fashion's Finest. Uh-huh. I did London Organic. I did Equal, that is London Alternative Fashion Week as well. It's coming. It's like I said, you know, like last year I did 2, and this year I did like 5. I'm going to do 5.
So there's more people being made aware of the changes in fashion, and obviously brands are catching up slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
But... You see, London Fashion Week is still, even that they use Kelly Knox, it's just, in terms of like wheelchair users, really, we are not there.
You are also an ambassador for a number of organisations.
I love my brands. I'm going to tell you, I love my brands. I say mine because I'm an ambassador and I'm just, I hug them. I feel that I'm part of the company, even that I should maybe make some more, make some profit from that. But I mean, when you believe in something, no way that you talk about them and you just don't wear their logo, their shirts in your heart and you talk about them. And so this is what I like with the brands I work with.
Because you work with Parallel London as well, don't you?
Yeah, they change, you know, it's Parallel Global now.
Oh, is it?
Because,
okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be only in London, it's going to be in Glasgow.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, in Glasgow and Nottingham. So it's going to grow.
Okay.
It's growing.
For people who don't know what that is, can you explain what Parallel Global is?
Yeah, Parallel Global is a set of race. So it's 10K, 5K, 1K, 100 meters, and has 1K sensorial one. So if you have autism, if you're blind, you can experience this sensorial thing. So they have music, they have bubbles. And I'm a big fan of bubbles, smells, lighting, so you can run. The beauty of this project is the inclusion. You can do these things together. It's not like in marathon that all the wheelchairs is inclusive and somehow, but all the chairs needs to go in front and the able-bodied people go in the back. Parallel Global, you go together.
Okay.
So I can run with my husband, you know, it's just go there.
It makes it a nice family event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone can do together and have fun. And the sensorial one is one that I must say you need to try.
Okay.
Because it's so fun to do.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and you're also an ambassador for Wheel Air?
Wheel Air.
Go on and tell me what Wheel Air is.
Wheel Air is a backrest, that's the cooler one. And the coolest one, so it's very soft, and at the same time, mainly in UK now, that's this heat weight, it was very hot in the summer, so makes your back, gives you some air, so makes you cooler in the chair. It's like a fun.
Okay, so for people who spend a lot of time in wheelchairs, people who are fully mobile probably aren't aware that you get a horrible sweaty back, it can get achy, it can get hot, and this basically cools your back down.
It does, yeah. So it's a fund that just puts some air in. You can graduate, you want stronger, you know, you just go through that. And yesterday I went to Zumba, you know, it's one of the things that I always turn on. So you just put your fund, so it keeps this cold air in your back. It's not cold, but it's a fresh air in your back. So it helps you with the hot, with the sweating and stuff, makes you fresher.
Excellent.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, what do you think can be done more to get people like yourself more inclusive into modeling and fashion?
Yeah, a lot of I get this question like every single day on my Instagram. How can I become a model? And I just went to the background, the back of my house here, and I started to take pictures. The thing is, to be a model, you need to know your best angles. You need to know how to pose. You need to know the how is the best position to be. How, if you are in the catwalk, how to push, the speed you need to push. Mm. It's things that you need to know. So, but I mean, you're going to know if you don't start.
No. And how did you know that? How is it just from experience and doing it yourself?
So I'm an ambassador for a brand in Brazil that is fashion inclusive. That's fashion inclusive. And I do workshops with them. So we start with 15 kids with Down and few wheelchair users. And nowadays we have more than 100 people in the project.
Okay.
So I go there and I give workshop to them. It's like, how shall we push? And the types of ways you can push. And but it's kind of a lot of things. It's the things that I have before. Like I said to you, I did course to be a model. So you need to know your better angle when you're going to have a self. If you if I put my face down, if you put my face up, but how is going to work best, you know? And the other thing you learn is doing. Contacting my agent is visible. Is you need a serious one, someone that is going to get you money, to get you paid jobs, and you know, and otherwise you don't know with who you're going to link yourself with. So you don't know what kind of job, if you're going to get paid or not. Try to find the work.
Excellent. So talk to us about London Fashion Week, because you got a big smile on your face when I said London Fashion Week.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about London Fashion Week?
Is the fashion week. You can see all these designers, all the clothes. And what makes me happy is to see that almost you can touch the vibe, you can touch this kind of inclusion come up. Because something like a few years ago, let's say 5 years ago, you never would see someone in wheelchair doing London Fashion Week or doing anything related to fashion, you know. And nowadays that you are seeing a lot of influencers in the chair and models and things towards inclusion with the fashion, it makes me happy. Every time it's like, what's the brands are going to come now? And you'll be clothes, you'll be models, you'll be marketing. Because it has some things that doesn't have nothing to do with things that wheelchair user, for example, can use or not. A watch.
Yeah.
Okay, a watch. Everyone can wear a watch. It's not kind of something that is a wheelchair-friendly watch, you know. It's a watch, it's a watch. So why brands are not using influencers or models or marketing using someone with disability to sell their watch, you know. So when you start to see that the brands are linking their selves and using, like, we want to be a inclusive brand, there you see that things are changing.
Excellent. Speaking about big events, you took part in the 2012 opening ceremony of the Paralympics.
Indeed.
Go on, tell us about it.
Oh, it was one of my big... I have few high moments in my life when I got my silver medal in the Parapan, the open ceremony, when I did the London Fashion Week. I was... I couldn't choose one moment to say what was the best, because they are my wedding, when I got married. So it's, that's situations in your life. It's just, wow, blow mind. And because I was... I don't know if you know Sway Paul. Sway pole is a 4 meters high pole that is carbon, so it's very flexible,
yeah,
but doesn't break, so you can be on the top of that, and the sink just comes,
it's one of those poles that like leans side to side, and it can lean any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bounces, and I was on the top of that, and was I was the first woman to do that in the world, really, in a wheelchair, and we need to get the power in your hands to learn how to climb. Because, okay, we had deaf, you had blind people, but they can climb and use their legs.
Yeah.
And I need to climb only using my hands.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to have enough power to be there. And
so you're 20 foot up on this pole, hanging off this pole, going all the way around in different circles, and you're holding on with your hands.
Yeah. And sometimes your hands are up. Like one of the music, the choreography, I had a wheel on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was.
Sorry, what's on your hand?
A wheel.
A wheel.
A wheel on my hand.
Yeah.
And but I could tell you because I had a wonderful view from the whole thing because I was high.
Yeah.
And all was just like you can see that kind of you are in the top of the world.
Yeah.
You know, because it's.
Well, you had the whole of the UK watching, the whole of the world watching.
Yeah.
You know, a billion viewers.
And you are in that high, with all the lights, and performing. Oh, it was just, I don't know how to... Also, I was so nervous. You know, it's no way that you can say, even that you rehearse a lot, it's like, oh, I'm going to do this like I did yesterday. No, it's that moment.
Yeah.
Is unique. And,
And you got a silver medal playing tennis in Brazil as well, I believe.
In the Parapanam.
Yeah.
2007.
So do you still play tennis?
I do.
Okay.
I played this week. So... It's funny because I stopped for a few years that I didn't even touch a racket,
mm-hmm.
kind of like I had an off and I didn't want to even to see in front of me because I kind of like, oh, I retired, I didn't want to play anymore. I was kind of very, I don't know, just donant. And now Mark, my husband, he's also coaching at NTC. So it's not about to play tennis, but it's about to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
To be with him, to be with friends, and to have fun.
Yeah.
It's different when you play professionally, that you have the pressure and you need to win,
mm-hmm.
when you play for fun and you just have a good time.
So do you think you'll ever go back to being a professional tennis player?
No.
That's finished now, is it?
No.
You're retired.
Yeah. I'm in the fashion bit.
That's fine.
But I also tried last week badminton.
Okay.
And I quite like that one too.
Yeah.
I played with Mark as well, so we try to do things that we can do together.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are very active on social media.
I am.
Yeah. You got a Facebook account, you got your own website, you're a vlogger, of course. So what keeps you going and what do people ask you? What do people come and say to you when they read all your stuff online?
It's a lot. How can I say, it's a lot of nice compliments, and I can sometimes it's like parents come to me, oh, my daughter is in a wheelchair, I want to, you know, it's nice to have you as someone that is a role model, that I know that she can get married, that she can travel, that she can play tennis, that she can be model if she wants, you know. And so I get a lot of nice compliments, and as well I got a few days ago a bad one, someone saying like, oh, you are making money from disabled people, and I'm gonna like, okay, just like show me how, you know. And it's funny, but I mean 95% of the comments, they are good ones, and people, it makes me want to inspire more, because there's a lot of things that people are inspiring you and give you nice messages and make you stronger to keep doing.
I did watch a couple of your videos online, okay, and this is how enthusiastic you are. You're going to Tesco and you are literally smelling the flowers on the way to Tesco, and then you buy flowers at Tesco.
Yeah, the flowers in the spring season here, it's so beautiful. I love flowers. And
you're the only person in the world who actually goes around sniffing flowers on the way to a Tesco Express.
I stop and I smell flowers. And I have flowers here and in my garden here. And I just, and even I say good morning to them. Like, keep shining.
I think that's
keep
probably the most positive thing I've heard in a very long time.
Your best smell, love your smell, have a good life, you know. And yeah, love my flowers and my friends. And even that is sometimes it's hard. I have chronic pain. And I try to be positive all the time.
I did read that you were, and you do suffer from chronic pain. And this happens with a lot of people with disabilities. What kind of pain is it? What do you do to try and cope with the pain mechanism?
I wrote the article about how I cope with the pain, saying like I do meditation, I go to the gym, I try to be active, and I try to be around people to keep my mind busy, mm-hmm. and I try to eat very healthily. Yeah, I try to go to massage, to stretch my body, to have a nice bath, to have a nice cup of tea. I try to make things that I enjoy and makes me happy. So sometimes it's just put a candle at the end of the day or have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
I know that I'm in the mood for that thing. I'm going to put my state of mind towards the things that make me happy.
And that's what you do to cope with the pain. Is the pain like in a certain area, the legs and stuff? Or?
Yeah, it's it's the leg I don't feel. It's in my right one, and it's sharp. Mm.
It's nerve damage pain.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
I try to explain, if you have a tooth pain, it's just, I don't know, it's much smaller than your cord, the spinal cord. And also, you know how it is to have a tooth pain. I think everyone can relate to that. So maybe do that few more times, like, I don't know, 10 times, 5 times, or 2 times is going to be bad enough. And the central nerve is kind of that size. Yeah. So it's painful. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
It's not something that... So it's like, or I'll be in bed crying.
Yeah.
And I was in a lot of medicine, and I decide... And the medicine... It helps, but it doesn't help because the pain is still there.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I was like, oh, I'm going to be medicine free. Mm. And then I started to detox last year to be without the. And it's tougher, but I feel that I'm much more awake. You know, before I would awaken in the morning, I would take a medicine that would make me sleepy all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So now. I don't have that in the morning, so even that I feel the pain, I'm more awake to live fully in my life.
I can relate to that. The reason, if people who have listened to this podcast will understand that I've got spinal damage, and I get similar shooting pains that you have. Now, I was given morphine. Now, morphine doesn't take the pain away, but it messes with your head. So, it depends on how much you take. You know, you can sleep for a good few hours, and it might help, it might not. But also, as well, I was on 120 tablets a week for my pain and my disability, and I said I can't do this anymore because I had medication that was blocking me up, couldn't go to the toilet, and then you had to take counter medications to
you
get
you another
blocks.
One to help you with another
and then
thing
take another one,
another
and another one.
One
and in the end I just said I can't do this. I went cold turkey and I just stopped.
And the thing is, the body also used to the medicine. So if you're having one tablet per week, and 1 year you're going to have 2 tablets, and 3 years you're going to have 3, you know, and you're going to build up. And
like with gabapentin, you've got to build it up. It doesn't happen with, it's not a painkiller, it's not paracetamol. It won't take your headache away in a few hours. You've got to build it up over weeks. So going cold turkey, I think for me, why it was quite dangerous, and I wouldn't recommend it, I wouldn't medically recommend it, for me, I think it was the best decision I did because it gave me a bit of my life back and I got a bit more freer to do things.
And otherwise, it's like you said, you're going to be sleeping, you can sleep, you know, but then your life's going to be dead.
Mm.
You'll be, and it, because it makes you so sleepy.
Yeah.
The only thing you're going to do is to sleep. And where you're going to have time to live. So even that one in pain, you need to find a way. And it was nice here in UK, you have these, the management pain, they have some clinics
the pain
where you go,
team, yes.
And to do the meditation and to be present, even that is in pain, you see that the pain, I try to see the pain as not my enemy.
Mm.
So it's my friend. Okay, so she's there with me, and we are go through everything together. Yeah, just make peace with your pain.
Yeah.
You are here, but let's go to the park. Let's go to the gym. Let's go to dance.
You do have to fight through it. Yeah. It's not always easy to do, as my wife will testify. When we go out, if I get into pain, we go, okay, we'll see how we get on. Sometimes I do have to come home, because if we're going to the cinema, I can't sit through a film and my foot is pulsating. And it's kicking off and
but
it's twitching.
But you need to understand that if you need to come back home, it's fine.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not wrong, you know? You need to come back home. You come back home.
Yeah. It's just because it's a more comfortable environment than being in a cinema where you might distract other people. So, yeah, if I get into pain, we come home. Or wherever we are, if we're on holiday, we go back to the hotel room. And it does wear off, but it does take some time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the following day I'll be absolutely fine.
You need to understand that it's fine not to be fine.
Yes. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is, especially with your spinal damage and my spinal damage, we do get into pain, but we deal with it the way we deal with it. And it will vary considerably for every different person.
Yeah, I get a lot of, like you're saying, the messages, you know, on Instagram, awesome, it's nice because you're always smiling and to know that you have the pain. So and there I posted, I think last week, was a picture that Mark took of me in Ireland, and I was having this photo shoot and I was taking the pictures and I was smiling and everything, and there suddenly I had the pain and then I need to stop and I squeeze myself kind of, and at that point Mark took a picture and I saw that afterwards, and I posted that picture. It's like, okay, the reality is I'm smiling, I'm happy, but I also have the pain.
Yes.
You know, is but what I want to share on my Instagram is the time that I'm smiling. I don't want to put on my Instagram that message that I'm in pain all the time or I'm miserable or it doesn't matter, you know, I'm sad. But it's not. It's a balance between the things, you know. And what I want to leave on my Instagram, mainly my message, is we can be happy. You can do some things, like you said, go to the Tesco and just stop to smell the flower. Why not? Our life.
Yeah, I mean that's the balance. You have to decide what you're going to do, and this is where I think you have decided is yes, you're in pain, but I'm going to get on with my life. And some people, not everyone, but some people say yes, I'm in pain, so I can't do anything. And I think having someone like yourself who is enthusiastic, who does stop and smell the flowers, literally, is enthusiastic to other people. It shows that you can carry on, and there is ways you can carry on, even though you are struggling with the pain that you've got because of your nerve damage.
But this is all mental, you know. It's the choice we have. Yeah. When you wake in the morning, you can choose what you're going to do at that day.
Mm.
You know, if you're going to have a rush day and if you are focused on the pain, or you're going to focus on the flowers or on the positive things in your life. So where you're going to put the focus, I think, is where your attention is going to go. So if I put my attention and be happy to be with my husband, to be with my friends, to go to the gym, to do my work, to talk with my friends on Instagram, and you know, and so it's the good bit.
Mm.
Is where your attention is going, and so it's a choice, but it's not easy.
Mm.
It's not an easy one to make every single day, because sometimes it's much easier to be in bed than to go to the gym.
Yes.
To wake in the morning is like, oh, if I can, why not be in bed? It's like, no, let's go to the gym. Some of you are always active. It's not that I wake and I was like, oh, I want to go to the gym. No, a lot of times I just, the last thing I would be doing was be in the gym.
Mm.
But it's the first thing I'm going to do. So it's not that I feel, and I don't think that no one feels that when you wake in the morning you think like, oh, today I feel like going to the gym. No, you know, if you are expecting that you are going to wake and you are going to feel that vibe, you are not going to. Sorry to tell that. You need to force yourself.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. No. After you go, you feel so much better that you say like, why didn't I come before, you know? Mm. But I don't know why we do that with ourselves. If you know you're going to get better, why you don't want to go?
Right, moving on. I've got some quick fire questions for you.
Okay.
People who listen to Wild Disabled will realise that we do quick fire questions and things not to say with people with disabilities. These are designed round you. Okay. So I've kind of tweaked them to every personality on who I'm interviewing for season one. Okay?
Okay.
So, favourite brand?
Let's say, oh my god, I would say, of what?
Of what?
Of what?
Of what? What do you know for what? I get
different brands for different things. So, for example, if I'm going to choose trousers, I would say Gunda. If I would choose jackets, I would say Peter. If I would choose, you know...
Well, you can really tell you work in fashion, can't you?
Yeah. How can we choose one? It's tough.
Come on. Okay, overall brand, what is your favourite brand? Something you go to every time and say, I want this, I will go to this brand because they are, you know, I like their clothing, or I like their food, or I like their whatever. Doesn't it have to be fashion?
I would say Marks & Spencer.
Marks & Spencer's, okay.
Because they, yeah, because also they do food.
Okay. Favourite model?
Gisele Bündchen.
Okay, cool.
She's Brazilian, yeah. You know.
Meat or no meat?
No meat.
Yeah, I know that. Vegan or vegetarian?
I'm not vegan.
You're not vegan?
I'm not vegan.
No, okay. Because yeah. I'm going to take a picture of your drink. You've got it looks like you're drinking grass.
Everyone thinks this. Yeah.
So I'm going to take a picture of that before I leave and stick it on Facebook so everyone can see what you are actually drinking.
It's called mate. So it's a green tea, green herbs, that you just pour hot water in your drink to a metal straw. And it's not a proper cup. So it's a kind of wood cup that is made in a... It's a pumpkin, kind of similar to a pumpkin that you just cut in. Okay. So it's, it's very healthy.
And it looks very healthy. Yeah. It looks like weeds.
Yeah, but it's legal. It's legal. It has caffeine, but it's legal.
Okay. Autumn in New York or autumn in London?
In London.
In London, okay. In London. Hyde Park or Richmond Park?
Oh, whoa.
So for the people who don't know this, Samantha lives very close to both. So I'm just thinking, which one do you prefer?
I'm going to say Richmond Park because it has the Isabella Plantation that has the flowers and the lake.
Okay.
Okay.
Tennis or the gym?
Right now, tennis.
Okay. Favourite Frida painting?
Frida?
Yeah.
Don't know. She has... Oh, my God. I don't know the names, really. But... No.
No?
No,
that's
no.
That's all right.
I went to her house.
I know, I saw.
Oh, she is, you know, she is. She was.
Yeah.
She always will be fantastic. And to see all the pain that she went through and I played her. I did for a photographer and it was in the exposition
I did see the photo of that actually, yes.
From the 22nd of August to the 2nd of September. Yeah. So I'm so proud to say that I could play Frida because she was all the fashion and the pain and she just lived to the fullest of her life.
Yeah.
So I just have this Frida on me.
That's right. Okay. Camping or hotels?
Oh, I'd say camping.
Camping. Because I saw you go camping and trying to put up a tent in your wheelchair. That was quite interesting to watch.
To put the tent all in the chair and to wake in the morning. The only thing is to go to the toilet.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
And then you need to transfer from the floor to the chair. Uh-huh. And if it's raining. Uh-huh. But also it's nice to be in nature, to be love.
Now, I can't pronounce this. It's Brazilian national dish.
Feijoada.
Feijoada or fish and chips?
I would say feijoada. Oh. I don't have feijoada much, you know, but I think it's fish and chips is fried.
Mm. Okay. And feijoada is basically a beef stew.
Yeah, but you can make without the meat.
Yes.
Yeah, you can make. Yeah, for me it would be without the meat.
Now, there's another national drink. You're going to pronounce it for me.
Cachaça
or gin and tonic?
I don't know. There you got me. I love cachaça.
What is cachaça?
Cachaça, it's kind of similar to vodka or tequila, but it's made from sugarcane.
Okay.
So if you have a nice cachaça, it's made like whiskey. You have different places where you need to store, different types of wood you can store. So different ones are going to give you different taste. Mm. So if you have a good cachaça, it's similar to have a very, very good whiskey. Because it's not much difference the way they are making and for how long they need to stay. And so I would say a very, very good cachaça.
Okay, cool. Favorite piece of clothing?
Dress.
A dress?
A long dress.
A long dress.
Yeah.
Cool. Favorite accessory?
Earrings.
And you're wearing pearl earrings.
Yeah. I change, and now at this time of the year, because sometimes you start to wear scarves, I like the smaller ones.
Mm.
But I think it's so stunning, it just make the face.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you for that. Right. So then we come on to the final part of the show, and this is, it is 10 things of what not to say to a person in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And this is, see if these have actually happened to you or not.
Okay.
Okay. What benefits are you on?
I don't think someone asked me that.
No?
No.
Can I have a go?
Yeah, this happens a lot of time, but mainly if kids, you know, they want to play. Mm. I don't think that never happened with adults too.
Oh, it does happen to me all the time. When I'm out and about, they want to go on my scooter.
Yeah. I think it looks more fun to play the scooter than the chair, really. But kids, they do. They want to come in your chair. Can I play?
I'm just wondering where they expect you to go as well.
Yeah.
You just get up and walk away and just...
I don't know. Sometimes I give talks and they think that I have the shower in my chair, that I sleep in my chair. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how kids' minds work.
What happened to you?
Oh, this, yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. And if you are in a pub and someone is drunk, there this question is going to come.
Do you actually tell them that you got shot?
Because
that's an interesting one, because I got injured playing rugby, so I say, oh, it's a rugby injury, and then they leave me alone. But if you turn around and say, I shot myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different story. That leads somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the kind of question that when someone makes, like, oh, what happened to you? They are expecting me to say, I had a car accident. Oh, okay, bye. You know, this is the kind of answer. And if you say something like, I had a car accident, they're going to agree with you and say, oh, okay. But when I say something, they say, oh, wow. So is there, I know that's going to come more questions.
Yeah,
and there's
absolutely.
Going to become in 1 hour
conversation, which you don't really want every day. Because you have it every day. Actually, the next one was, did you get hit by a car?
Yeah. No. Didn't.
Oh, bless you. Did you do something bad in a previous life?
Yeah, this question, it's... is the one that I had a few conversations with friends and that they believe in this kind of stuff. But it's not something that someone asked me for the first. It was more inside of a conversation. Is it your karma? You need to pay or not? So it's a more deep conversation than... But yeah, I got that once in the I got that.
Yeah.
I got that once.
This happens quite more frequently these days, and I'm not too sure why, but it's around the perspective that people think you're disabled now because your previous life you were bad or you did something wrong. Mine was just a bad rugby tackle. I don't think that helped.
Didn't help much. Yeah. No.
Why not just get surgery?
No, I don't think I got that.
No? It's good to see you out and about.
Yeah, that's fine of me too.
You look really frustrated with that one.
Yeah, I was like, oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to like to see me.
You need a horn for your wheelchair.
No.
You haven't had that one.
No.
Because people don't see you. One of the things that really gets me is, you know, when you're rolling down the street and people are on their iPhones.
And they don't see you.
They don't see you.
And nowadays it's so annoying. It's just like they don't even move. They know you are pushing to the left side. They keep doing, and you try. Yeah. It's
I don't say look out anymore or watch out. I say look up.
Look up.
Look up.
Look up.
Because people are texting, people are on their phones, they're watching videos while they're walking, and they just don't see you. Especially if you're in a wheelchair or you're in a scooter.
And I have a belt on my bike. I have a hand bike.
Mm.
So that one, if, you know, because also I was people in, when they are cycling, it's just they are listening to music and they just see and keep like, tum, 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 tum. But maybe it would be nice to have one in the chair.
Yeah.
Come to the, wake, I'm here.
Samantha Bullock, it's been an absolute pleasure. You are an inspiration to many, many people around the country and around the world. And I thank you for taking part in Wild Disabled.
Oh, a lot of success in your podcast. I'm sure this is going to be an inspiration for all of us.
Mm.
And can't wait to keep in following you and see what's going to come up with, you know. Yeah, amazing.